Your one-stop shop for the world's best new music. 2009 on Triple J.
On Triple J's 2009, that is Soft Shock, a new track from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs from their album It's Blitz. This is their third album, the last album they made 3 years ago. There was a lot of friction within the group, but this time round, Karen O says there was far more harmony in the making of it. They worked with two different producers, Dave Sitek, who's their regular producer. He's also a core member of TV on the Radio. And Yeah Yeah Yeahs fan Nick Launay also got involved pretty heavily in the making of this new release from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, which officially is released on CD on April the 3rd, but both officially and unofficially, it's available online right now. It actually leaked on the net a couple of weeks ago. And when I spoke to Karen O this week from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, I asked her how did she feel when she found out that the album came out leaked online a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you know, it's definitely disappointing because the immediate reaction is your, you know, kind of heart sinking into your stomach a little bit because we've been working up, you know, the anticipation and the excitement and really working towards, you know, releasing it where everyone gets it at the same time, and, you know, it's just, and just like trying to build on and feed into that excitement, and then when it's leaked, it's all of a sudden just feels really fragmented and like sort of displaced, like this sort of the excitement just, you know, it's still there, but it just, you know, it's really anticlimactic, I guess.
Yeah. Did it stuff up much of your plans?
Yeah, and then, you know, we're scrambling here and there to just sort of to get everything, you know, on track as soon as possible. And I mean, you know, specifically when it's a week that's like 2 months before the record release, I mean, that's a pretty pretty long time before you're supposed to, you know, the record's supposed to be out. So yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, there's some scrambling that you have to do here and there and all of that. But at the same time, you know, I think one of the positive things about it, if any, is just that if the record is well received, then, you know, this excitement doesn't really go away necessarily. Just, you know, hopefully it builds. So, you know,
I mean, this isn't the first time you've faced such a matter of, obviously you personally faced something similar a few years ago when the home demos you made for Dave Sitek kind of leaked online. Have you become, you know, with that experience as well, have you become more protective about what you do in your art?
No, not at all, because, I mean, that would be letting that sort of get the better of me, or really letting that kind of, you know, screw with my mind, you know, to a point where it starts affecting, you know, how, you know, my art. No, it's never really gotten to that point, you know, but yeah, I guess, like, in the end, it's really out of your control, you know, so to get really angry about it, that's fine, because everyone's, you know, entitled to be angry about something like that, but, you know, to try and control it is just, it seems like a waste of energy.
Yeah. I don't know where the headspace for most artists is these days, but I wonder if any of them are worrying about putting anything down on tape, you know, any formulated ideas, because, you know, to a certain degree, nothing is really safe anymore.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, the new way of making music is with that consideration, you know, that whatever you're doing, you know, is, you know, likely that it can be leaked, so.
Yeah, but you're not sort of worried. You don't angst over putting any sort of ideas down on tape for fear that someone might get hold of them.
No, it's just because it's for the most part, it's usually the stuff that people, you know, there's some sort of you know, buzz about or anticipation for that ends up leaking more than, I mean, I think the Dave thing was a real fluke, you know, kind of how that happened. So you know, I mean, there's a lot of music that I have lying around, but, you know, maybe no one would ever, you know, no one knows it exists, or maybe no one's really all that interested in it. So, you know, I'm not that worried about it leaking.
Oh, well, I think the interest is there. It's probably that they just don't talk it down too much. I'm sure there's a lot of interest there from fans, but if they don't know it exists, then they don't know where to look for it. So we'll keep the secret safe. How are you feeling about this record? Not in line of what people are making of it by listening to it online at the moment, but how are you feeling about the record now?
I'm feeling really good about it. You know, I'm feeling really positive about it. You know, I think, like, we worked on it for so long that I was really losing that perspective about it, you know, like of being able to tell if it was any good, you know, anymore, or if it, you know, was good to begin with. But I do, you know, I do recall when we were writing and recording the record that there was, you know, some some tracks on this record that were, you know, some of the most uplifting, sort of like, I don't know, like borderline transcendent, you know, like tracks for me, you know. So I think, you know, there's been like some distance and I feeling really sort of positive about it, just like as I was hoping to. So.
Okay, well, when you were making the record and it was extending over a period of time, did you worry that you were spending too much time on it?
Yes, of course, you know. Yeah, you never feel good about, like, laboring over something for, like, for you know, like, over a year, you know, especially, you know, when records, usually a lot of bands make them in, like, a month or something like that, you know. It's just, you know, and the concern is that you're overworking it, you know, but I think this was, like, a pretty, you know, special, you know, case with this record because we were working with two completely different producers, you know, both, like, lending really sort of, you know, vital and integral parts to the album, but, like, but kind of bouncing in between them and trying to find a middle ground that just felt like the perfect balance. And I think that's what kind of took a while in a way, you know, to just get it to where we wanted to be.
So. Well, those two producers are Nick Launay and also Dave Sitek. Obviously, Dave, you've got a close working relationship with in the past. Were they working side by side on material or individually on different songs?
Individually. Mm-hmm.
Did it create any weird headspace for you guys, like split personality type stuff? Because I would imagine that they're two very different types of producers.
It didn't, you know, surprisingly, because they had more specific sort of roles, you know, like Nick Launay, in a way, like, you know, his role, he was with us almost throughout the entire, like, writing process of the record, so he was, like, in it for the long haul and stuff, and you know, he's, like, a real sort of avid, you know, Yeah, you know, fever to toe, like, you know, that kind of, like, the raw, you know, Yeah, fan, and he's really raw, you know, he's, like, kind of classic, you know, like, sort of, like, super raw rock, you know, like, kind of punk, like, producer as well, so he knew basically what we needed to retain. We, like, really need to retain that spirit, that sort of, like, that, you know, that edge and sort of the rawness of the emotion and all that stuff, you know, like, all the good stuff, really, you know, was, like, is really important, you know, to protect that and make sure that didn't get lost, even though, you know, he knew that we really wanted to take it outside of just that, you know.
You just said that, you know, he's a big fan of that early period of Yeah, mm-hmm. the Fever to Tell yeah. type material. And, you know, reading from what people are making of this record and having listened to it a lot of times myself, I don't hear a lot of Fever to Tell in this new album. Do you still think that there's some of that raw energy there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like, you know, I feel like that raw energy, like, I mean, I've probably... The couple tracks that, you know, are most, it's where it's the most sort of, you know, plainest to me, like that energy is there is Dull Life and Shame and Fortune, you know, but then I think, like, kind of the drive, like the sort of drive and the, like, emotion and the I don't know, whatever that kind of essence, you know, the idea is, and you could probably find it in every song, you know, including Zero and stuff, you know, it's just, you know, a different approach, I'd say.
As Karen O from the Yeah's just mentioned to me, capturing that raw energy that they had on their first album, she reckons on that song, Dull Life, which is a track from the new Yeah's album, It's Blitz, which we're going to be featuring across the radio starting tomorrow morning. We're going to be featuring the album for a full week. You'll get plenty of the tracks from the record on each and every show, and also you'll hear more of that interview which I had with Karen O, and she'll talk about each of the individual tracks and a bit more about the making of it. That's the first half of it. I will play the second half of the interview next weekend on 2009 as well.
The best new releases of the week, 2009 on Triple J.